light breaks through a clouded sky. A woman dressed in robe stands on top of some stairs and holds up a torch. Columbia. A Sony Pictures Entertainment Company. Columbia Pictures presents a Rastar Mirage Enterprises production. The outside of an airport is shown, then the luggage area and escalators. Random Hearts. A man runs down a residential street and into the yard of a stone house. He picks up the newspaper. Inside, a woman in a white silk robe walks out of a room and looks at the man who's leaning on a counter over the paper.
I'm gonna mark you tardy.
I've got court today. You're working late?
She turns from the cabinet and looks at him.
I can if you are.
About to take you to the palm.
I'm gonna get my dad one of those weather radios. The nothing but weather ones. Now that he's on the water.
Get him a book. Let him dope it out for himself. He'd like that.
You'd like that. He doesn't think the weatherman's going to lie to him. He wants to know if a hurricane's coming.
What's wrong with the palm?
She shrugs.
It's Friday night. It'll be crowded.
You like it crowded.
Okay, let's go to the palm.
She takes a drink of coffee. The man smiles and looks back at the paper. A clock on the wall reads 7:26. She pours the coffee into the sink. She walks around the counter and touches the man's shoulder. She stops at the doorway and looks back at him. He looks up at her.
If you're just killing time.
She begins to untie her robe. Elsewhere, a man adjusts his tie in a mirror.
Help!
Did he talk about God?
Well, ask him if God said anything back. We can get him to say God speaks to him, then we're...
She motions to an intercom.
That thing's cordless, you know.
What else did he say? Oh, baloney.
True, she's on the phone. She'll be right down.
What does he know about the democratic process? I gotta go. Got any cash?
Sure.
I need about $500,000. Harold Cornelius is gonna run against me as a writer.
Cornelius? He's a nutcase.
A chain of drugstores and a lot of money. Where are you going?
New York. New Hampshire will not stand for him buying a seat in Congress. This guy is Elmer Fudd.
Yeah, sure. Jesse's birthday's Wednesday. I said we'd both be back home.
Sure.
The woman leaves and the suited man looks at his watch. At the airport, a plane lifts off and others line up.
I came to clarify.
Passengers mill about the inside of the airport.
Attention all aircraft. Convective Sigma 3 Echo in effect for Washington-Baltimore area. A line of thunderstorms approximately 60 miles wide, moving from 260 degrees at 15 knots with tops to flight level 350. Wind gusts to 60 knots and possible cloud-to-cloud lightning. Visibility occasionally 1 mile.
Gate 33 is shown, as is another plane. A car drives down a city street.
I said I wouldn't take PAC money.
That's when we didn't need it.
What do I say now?
You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do. Name and occupation for the jury, please.
William Vandenbrock. I'm a sergeant in the Internal Affairs Division of the District of Columbia Police Department.
And what's your job, Sergeant?
Internal Affairs is responsible for investigating incidents or allegations of misconduct involving sworn officers and civilian employees.
Vandenbrock's wife makes a dash through the rain to the airport.
The flight zone is for immediate loading and unloading of passengers only. No parking.
Inside, she runs to a payphone.
He'll do it again this time.
But at Miami now, 40, gate 33.
He doesn't think we're going to let him get away with that, does he? Depose Henry. Sure. I'll see you.
Vandenbrock's wife stands next to the suited man in line at gate 33. The courthouse is shown. At an electronics store, a clerk takes boxes to the counter. Vandenbrock walks in out of the rain.
to help you?
Yeah, for a gift from my wife, please. Is there an all-weather radio or just weather? It's for my father-in-law in Florida.
Yeah, I got a couple back here. I'll show you.
He follows the clerk past a display of televisions.
A normal crew is two pilots and three cabin attendants.
The aircraft involved is a 737, which normally is configured for seats for anywhere from 96 to 130.
Where is this?
Down in the bay.
Vandenbroek walks out of a diner. A vehicle is driven under an archway and parks in front of a police station. Police officers stand outside and chat. Inside, people walk through the lobby, and in an office, a young girl is seated on a bench. Vandenbroek enters the office and checks a box for messages. The girl looks at him as Vandenbroek stops to watch the news.
Anything happening?
School cops at King took a 9 out of this girl's locker. Same gun got logged into evidence 6 weeks ago. Weapon in a drive-by.
Altitude of reportedly 8,000 feet when it veered off course and began a steep descent.
It was my impression you went in the market for corporate support.
I hate making these calls. I thought I wouldn't have to. But now I need the money.
We had a good relationship with your father. He understood the communications business. We appreciated that.
Who's doing your media?
I guess I was. Never needed much till Cornelius came out of left field. I'll make that right field.
What do you think of Carl Broman?
Vandenbroek places a weather radio on his desk.
No. Juvenile's got her brother for knocking over gas stations. I guess she's holding for him, but she ain't gonna talk to us.
You can get her a week in detention.
Oh, yeah? No.
You'll lose her paperwork.
You'd do that. Hold her without a charge.
For a week, sure. If she wants to go home, maybe we get a name.
Dutch, line 3.
Vandenbroek answers the phone.
Vandenbroek. Clayton and George Buford. Well, Friday's payday, I guess. You stick with him until Elsie and I catch up with you. I want this son of a bitch. Elsie, we're on the roll. Janice?
I didn't do anything. We were just talking.
Don't even think about it. It's crap like that that makes people hate police officers. Grab a radio.
Cassie, you got a car for me?
Cassie holds up a set of keys with gold dice.
Not the pimp mobile. This is surveillance, not narcotics.
This is it. Oh, and your wife called when you were in court. She said things came up at work. She can't eat with you, and you should call before you go home.
You can see the tail section of the Southern airliner sticking out of the water. You can hear choppers above me. We've got news choppers here. You better look at the crash site. Currently, search and rescue operations.
About an hour ago, with a reported 103 passengers on board.
A plane's tail section sticks out of the bay. In the city, Elsie and Vandenbroek watch a man from inside a van.
Where's Clayton? What's he doing? What's this clown doing?
No.
And where's George?
The man looks down at a building entrance, then runs to a car.
Wait a minute. Get Alton and Tommy back here quick.
Hey, Tommy. We need you guys back here. Something's going down.
Vandenbroek and LC walk up the wet street. They approach a car.
Clayton, how you doing? What's going on? Where's George? Where's your partner?
He's over there in the basement.
The basement?
Vandenbroek looks over his shoulder.
What's he doing in the basement?
See, a guy named Marvin, he's pouring booze without a license. We're getting ready to ride him. He comes up with a shotgun. He says he wants money. He tells me to go get it. He's got George down there.
Somebody's holding George Buford hostage.
Can he send us an ear?
So what's the plan, officer? Well, we could call the police. Is that what you're getting ready to do? Call the police? Of course, there's a lot of police here already.
Hey, the guy's got a gun on George. We gotta do something.
Oh, no. See, we're internal affairs. You got a policeman that screws up. You got a policeman that abuses his position, steals. That's us. What do you think's going on here, Clayton? You think we just happened by? We've been on you all day. All week. We've been on you all month. You know what I think's going on down there? I think somebody got sick and tired of paying you off. You want to corroborate that? Gives us a reason to go down there and drag George's sorry ass out of the basement. Otherwise, I guess we'll just talk to the guy with the shotgun and see what his version is.
You ask me to turn George in?
In the basement.
Just push me.
Marvin? Marvin?
Vandenbrock walks down the stairs into the basement tavern.
Marvin? I'm Sergeant Vandenbrock.
He looks at George.
Hello, Nancy. You're under arrest.
On a television.
Who is the real Kate Chandler? What's she stand for? Do you know? What's she doing in Congress anyway? Little girl. Harold Cornelius, for your congressman.
Shirley Magnuson did it. Pretty good.
I think so.
Well, she knows you're going to run as Arthur Spencer's daughter, and she can't go after him. Poor guy's dead, and when he wasn't, he got a lot of votes. So all she does is ask a couple of questions. And the subtext is, she only got elected because of her daddy. She didn't earn it. And this is America, and that ain't fair.
I'm not running as Arthur Spencer's daughter.
What are you going to run as? Nice person?
I have my own record.
Carl Broman looks at a sheet of paper.
City attorney? National committee woman? A record's when somebody who votes remembers what you did for him.
I beat Harvey Gallin 5-3.
My, my. 5-3. Now, how do you figure those three people vote Democratic in a district that hadn't voted for a Democrat since Roosevelt, huh? They're trying to send you a message, lady. Listen, this ain't going to be some nice election, folks talking about the amber waves of grain. This is going to be about the man with the money against the woman with the name. Can't beat you on your record. You haven't got one. And he won't beat you on the issues. On the issues, I'll kick his ass. Real question is, can you beat Shirley Magnuson?
I'm not running against Shirley Magnuson.
Whatever you don't want to see in the papers, whatever you and your husband haven't told each other yet, Shirley's going to find it.
Shirley's wasting her time.
How's your marriage?
Swell. How's yours?
I was running for office. I'd be in trouble. You fool around, Mrs. Chandler? A little slap and tickle.
Kay raises her eyebrows.
Any special friends?
Not at the moment, but I'll keep you posted.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
You need a life, Mr. Broman.
Broman smiles as Kay sips from a coffee cup.
God, for a moment there, I thought we weren't going to have any fun at all.
Gotta grease all them people, else they shut you down.
I didn't take a dime from you, you crazy old bastard.
Hey, hey.
Vandenbrock glares at George, then turns to Marvin.
Marvin, we don't come up pretty soon. They're going to come down here and get us.
What you think they do about me?
Well, for sure, you're going to pay a fine for pouring liquor without a license, but I need you. I need you to testify against George. You got some leverage.
Vandenbrock walks over to George.
Hey, want to make your situation a little worse? Just keep thinking what you're thinking.
He pulls George's pant cuff, revealing a small revolver. Vandenbrock takes it from him.
Marvin, you pay a little fine. Plead it disorderly. But you got to promise me you're going to show up against George.
Vandenbrock points over his shoulder at George and looks at Marvin.
I got to have that shotgun. Now.
He holds out his hand and Marvin hands over the gun.
Good man. Go on up.
Marvin leaves and Vandenbrock picks up his radio.
I'll see this guy Marvin's coming up. Get him downtown. Take real good care of him, okay?
Vandenbrock looks at George.
You really gonna shoot that old man?
He had that shotgun pointed right at me.
And what were you thinking you'd do about me?
I figured he'd shoot you. I'd shoot him, get myself a medal. You'd be dead, of course.
You got a right to remain silent, officer. Use it.
Underwater, a diver takes a body bag from the wreckage of the plane crash. The interior of the plane is shown and debris is scattered everywhere. The bodies of Kay's husband and Vandenbrock's wife are still seated side by side.
The 95 passengers and crew members are now feared lost. Navy divers were expected to work throughout the night. Will Thomas, are you there?
At a tavern, Vandenbrock is having a drink and watching the television.
Trying to hoist the plane out of the water. We've got divers in the water.
Where's Peyton?
Working late.
CUNY? They got base scallops.
Ooh. See if I can find her.
Vandenbrock gets up and walks away from the bar.
At a shallow angle and then bounced at least one time before plowing into the water nose first.
He's on a payphone.
Hey, I'm at Billy's. I'll call you at home. If we don't catch up, I'm going to eat here. He's got base scallops. Love you. Bye.
He dials another number.
It's the Vandenbrocks. Leave a message and we'll call you back.
To play back your messages, press 1.
Hi, I'm at the airport. It's the first time I sent a catalog to Miami without me and the whole thing's falling apart. It's a new stylist. Locations don't work, bugs biting the girls, and you don't want to know what else. Therefore, I am on the plane to kill critters and counsel some careers. I'll try to get back tomorrow, but it may not be till Sunday. And God knows where I'll sleep. They're down in the Keys someplace, but I'll call you when I can. I had fun this morning. I love you.
Vandenbrock stares ahead before looking around and heading back to the bar.
Hey, fighter?
No, that plane was going to Miami, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Give me some quarters.
I once got laid, Miami.
Vandenbrock drops the change. He picks it up and goes back to the phone.
Yeah, my name's Vandenbrock. I'm a Washington, D.C. police officer. That makes any difference. I know you get a lot of crazies when something like this happens, is why I mention that. I think it's possible that my wife may have been on your airplane. I'm Peyton Vandenbrock. Great. Boy, she must be on another flight. Boy, that'll wake you up. What are the other flights to Miami? Well, you check the 115, but it doesn't make much sense. She left for the airport just after 9.
Vandenbrock drives up to a Saks Fifth Avenue and rushes inside. He approaches a woman hanging clothes on a rack.
I'm sorry, excuse me. I'm Bill Vandenbrock, Peyton's husband. She went to Miami today. I need to find out what plane she was on.
Oh, you're the policeman, huh?
That's right, yeah.
Well, Mary Claire Clark books the travel, but she goes home at 5:30.
Can you reach her at home for me?
Oh, my God, the plane that crashed.
I don't know. She was gone to Miami, but they don't ever list it.
Molly, how do we get a hold of Mary Claire Clark?
Molly approaches them.
Do we really have to shout?
Peyton was going to Miami. She might be on the plane that crashed in the bay. We have to find out what flight she was on.
Does anyone know what Mary Claire Clark was doing tonight? Call the switchboard, get her number at home.
Okay.
The airline won't tell you?
They don't have her listed on the flight, but they don't have her listed on any flight. I know she was gone because she left me a message at work and also at home.
They can't give out home numbers.
Molly marches over to the phone.
This is Molly Roll. Who's this? Hi, Carla. I need your help, okay? I'm the supervisor and designer Ware. You'll be confirming that when you call me back at extension 293, okay? I need the home telephone number of Mary Claire Clark. She's the department secretary. We are managing an emergency. Do you understand? Thank you. Must be Dutch. I'm Molly. What was she doing in Miami?
Sounded like it was some kind of a crisis. You're shooting something, catalog in the Keys that was falling apart.
What would we be shooting in the Keys?
Did she say which catalog?
No.
Molly Roll?
Molly writes something down.
Thank you. Sarah, would you get her for me? I'm going to get my boss.
Molly walks away.
What catalog are we shooting?
What happened to Peyton?
I didn't even know we were doing a catalog.
Mr. Vandenbrock, this is Mr. Dreiker, Vice President of Designerware. He's our boss.
Would you excuse us, please?
Sure.
Molly walks over to Sarah and another woman.
Is Peyton on that plane or not?
We don't know. Shh. Either way, she's toast.
Sarah, can you just zip it?
We don't have a catalog shooting in Florida or anywhere else. The next catalog's not till Christmas. Maybe it's not a catalog, but something involving models. The girls are getting bit by bugs. No, there's nothing like that. If Peyton's traveling, I don't think it's for the store. I know when our people are out of town, I have to approve it, and we're pretty stingy on travel.
Vandenbrock looks down.
Are you saying she lied to me? I'm saying I don't know where she is.
He stares at Dreiker.
I'm trying to think of something that I can do. I would like to be helpful here.
Vandenbrock slowly turns away from Dreiker, then walks away. He walks past the women and stops near an escalator. Back back inside the store.
And there was this judge someplace who had two whole entire families. Kids, dogs, everything. A judge.
We think we know. We don't know. Nobody knows. You just don't know.
Oh, my God.
Vandenbroek walks up.
Maybe she was traveling as someone's wife. If anyone knows what his name is, I could check that way.
The women look at Vandenbroek and each other.
I don't know, honestly.
He looks at Sarah.
Beats me. She seemed... I mean, she never looked like she was looking.
The women look at Sarah.
Like girls look if they're looking, okay?
Molly approaches him.
Mr. Vandenbroek. I think I know Peyton as well as anyone here. I've got no idea.
Are you surprised?
Molly looks down.
The important thing is, we don't know whether she was on the plane or not.
I think she was on the plane.
He walks away. At the crash site, a helicopter flies overhead and a dive rescue boat is in the water. Workers carry body bags and load them into vans. Elsewhere, Kay is on a telephone and the other man sits on the couch.
Jesse, just tell me the truth. Are kids drinking at these parties?
He bites open a sauce packet.
Hey, I invented some of the excuses you're giving me. I've been 15. You've never been 35. Okay, 37.
He looks at the TV.
I'll see for myself Wednesday.
Identification is the responsibility of the St. Mary's County...
5'6".
At Vandenbroek's house.
120. Blue eyes. A wedding band, just plain. A diamond ring. Emerald cut, about a carat. No. Look, I'm telling you, she was on your airplane. If I'm wrong, great. If I'm right, you know who to call, okay?
He places his hands on the counter and stares straight ahead. Later, he drives up to his house and gets out of his vehicle. He takes groceries out of the back as two people in suits approach him.
Excuse me, are you Mr. Vandenbroek?
Yeah.
I'm David Dotson. This is Phyllis Bonaparte, Southern Airlines. Do you have a minute to talk to us? Sure.
He hands a bag of groceries to Bonaparte and another bag to Dotson. Vandenbroek gets some groceries and they go inside.
Mr. Vandenbroek, we don't show your wife as anybody's passenger on any flight to Miami.
He pushes a button on the answering machine.
Hi, I'm at the airport. It's the first time I sent a catalog to Miami without me and the whole thing's falling apart. The new stylist locations don't work, bugs biting the girls, and you don't want to know what else. Therefore, I am on the plane to kill...
Dotson and Bonaparte look at Vandenbroek.
No one named Vandenbroek made a reservation or bought a ticket to Miami. There is no catalog shoot. She works for Saks. I don't know where she is. I think she was going to spend the weekend in Miami, I assume, with another guy.
Dotson and Bonaparte look down.
If she was, would she tell the truth about her destination? The trick is not to lie any more than you have to. You got a passenger list? I'm not supposed to let you see it. I figure the guy bought the tickets, Mr. and Mrs., but I think he's married. Be interesting when you call his house. I'm not allowed to.
You don't see the list, David.
Dotson gives him a folded piece of paper. He opens it, looks at it, and sticks it in his pocket.
I need that back.
I'll give you another one.
There's a Royal Regency hotel near where the plane went down. We have rooms there for family members. Why don't you drive down with us? You'll have to be there anyway to identify, to make the identification.
Sit around with the next of kin? I don't think so. I got a lot of things to do.
Mr. Vandenbroek. I don't think you should be alone right now.
Oh, yeah? It was long before you got here.
At an airfield, ambulances, military personnel, and doctors are hard at work. A body bag is shown, and others are laid on tables.
Everybody, listen up.
We got a guy that thinks his wife is on 437 traveling with another man on Mr. and Mrs. tickets. Now, the guy's a DC cop, so as far as we know, he's not nuts. Who the wife's boyfriend is, he hasn't got a clue. We got 9 M&Ms in the manifest. Another 2 pairs sitting together, same last name, married, cousins, who knows? Be careful. Do not assume a deceased missus is for real.
Understand, we got 2 problems here. We don't want to be the ones telling some widow her husband died happy, and we sure as hell don't want to be the ones to tell the kids that mom's gone, mom's asleep in Bethesda, okay?
LC walks into the office at the police station and finds Vandenbroek sitting at a desk.
What the hell are you doing here on Saturday?
Vandenbroek stares straight ahead, and LC places some files on a desk.
George and Clayton made bond. You know this ain't the best case we ever made.
Got Clayton's statement. Do you read him his rights?
Yeah, he'll say I didn't.
Got Marvin.
Something wrong with you?
LC approaches Vandenbroek, who's looking at a picture of his wife.
What's wrong, Dutch?
Vandenbroek holds up his hand. Elsewhere.
Dick. Sorry. 3 A and B. Mr. and Mrs. Colin Chandler. No one's called. There's an unlisted number for a Colin Chandler at the Metropolitan. Are you ready for this? Doorman says Mrs. Chandler is a congresswoman, and he saw her today. She was going jogging.
When I was small, I knew my father was in politics, but I didn't know what that was or why he had to go to Washington.
Hey, let's make it Dad, my dad, you know, instead of father. Just it okay. Warms it up a little.
Dad, right.
Okay?
Okay.
K. Chandler, take 3.
Hello. I'm Kay Chandler, and I'm running for Congress. When I was small, I knew my dad was in politics, but I didn't
Maybe
know.
Maybe it should be kid, huh? When I was just a kid. How about that?
When I was a kid.
A door opens, and Dick and Bonaparte enter.
Help you? We need to speak to Mrs. Chandler.
We're taping a spot here, guys.
No, it's all right. What is it?
Mrs. Chandler, I'm Dick Montoya. This is Phyllis Bonaparte.
Hi.
We're with Southern Airlines. Is there somewhere we can talk?
Well, about what?
I'm very sorry to have to tell you. Your husband was on our flight to Miami yesterday.
What?
The one that...
No. No, Colin's in New York.
I wish that were so, ma'am.
Kay takes a cell phone out of her purse.
You do fly to New York, don't you?
Not from Washington, no, ma'am, no.
Jeff.
The cameraman leaves.
I'm afraid the identification is correct. I'm awfully sorry.
But he said he was going to New York. Why would he go to Miami?
The identification is correct. We have his wallet. I'm very sorry.
Miss Chandler, if something did happen to your husband, it'll lead the news tonight in New Hampshire. Where's your daughter?
Kay stares at the producer and turns to Dick.
We have a daughter. She's 15.
We won't release the casualty list till all the families are notified, but we need your help identifying your husband.
Where is he?
Patuxent Naval Air Station.
Kay walks out.
I understand. Let us help.
Call Dick Terradesian at the White House. Tell him what the deal is. Ask him if there's any possible way to get a plane to meet us at Patuxent. If the Air Force can't do it, call GM or anybody that's got a jet.
Broman nods and looks down. In the hall, Kay and her campaign manager wait for the elevator.
He did say Miami. Usually it's New York, but this time he said Miami.
Kay nods as Montoya and Bonaparte watch. Later, in a conference room, Vandenbroek looks at a seating chart of the plane. He looks at the sad faces of the people in the room as they hug one another. He watches Bonaparte step away from Kay and her manager and go to a man with a radio. He watches Bonaparte take them away. In another room, a body bag is rolled up on a gurney. It's unzipped, and the image of Kay's husband's face is shown on a video monitor. Montoya looks at Kay, who's holding her manager's arm. She nods slightly. Back in the waiting area, Bonaparte approaches Vandenbroek.
Mr. Vandenbroek, we have car for you.
He follows Bonaparte. His wife's image is shown on a monitor, and Vandenbroek looks at it. The monitor goes black. Elsewhere, Kay is led out of a hangar. A plane takes off. Vandenbroek sits at a table circling the name Peyton Vandenbroek on a list of the confirmed dead, and Mr. and Mrs. Cullen Chandler on the airline's flight manifest. A two-story White House is shown. Inside, Kay gets up from her chair. Outside, a girl gets out of a car and Kay approaches her.
Ma, what are you doing home?
She hugs her daughter, Jessie.
Where's Dad?
They hug again. Later, at a church, Kay is sitting with Jessie. Peyton services are at a funeral home.
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of mercies and giver of all comfort.
I met this guy because he was smart enough to get out of the rain. I was too. So we waited under the arch in the loquat till it was over. And then he asked me if I knew where the bookstore was. And I said I happened to be going there myself, which was a lie, of course.
Kay looks around the church.
We had so many great days. Just not enough years.
She looks at Jessie.
But what we had is love.
Jessie starts to cry. And Kay leaves the podium.
Sorry, Dutch.
Maybe I'll call you.
Let's go, Dutch.
At the funeral home, mourners console Vandenbroek. He watches the women from the store leave and runs after one of them.
Okay, I'll call you later.
Excuse me. Excuse me. Are you Mary Claire Clark?
Yes, I am so sorry.
Name Colin Chandler mean anything to you?
Mary looks down.
No.
If I'd called my wife at work that morning, what would you have said?
That she called in and said she was taking the day off. But you wouldn't have gotten me. She sent me to shop Tyson's Corners and told me I could go home from there.
So I would have gotten her voicemail?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mr. Vandenbroek.
Yes?
I have some of her personal things. I could drop them off at your
office.
No,
I'll take them now.
At Kay's house.
I know. I just gotta get out of here. I'll take Jess with me.
Kay, it's gonna look like...
I don't care. Just get us back to Washington. I can't see all these people. It's like going through a...
Don't make a mistake now, Mrs. Chandler. Everybody's watching. Just one more day.
A box is set on a table and the lid is removed. Inside are personal items. Vandenbroek looks at a photo of him and his wife. He flips through his wife's planner and finds several dates marked Miami.
How can I find out if a guy was on one of your flights to Miami in May?
He comes out of Carl Simmons Travel and walks to the street. Vandenbroek walks up a street. He takes off his sunglasses and enters a building where he talks to someone at a front desk. He goes to an elevator. Kay waits at her door as Vandenbroek gets off the elevator and approaches her.
Hello. My name's Bill Vandenbroek.
Yes, they said you're a policeman.
Yeah, I am. But I'm not working. I'm not working right now.
Oh. Then what is this about?
My wife was on that plane that your husband was on.
I'm sorry.
I wonder if I could just have a few minutes, can you?
I just got home. This isn't a very good time for me.
For me either.
Kay enters her apartment and Vandenbroek follows her inside.
So you're visiting survivors?
No. You're the only one.
I'd ask you to... I don't understand.
He stares at her.
My daughter's due back any minute. Do you have kids? Jessica, she's 15.
He looks at some family photos on a table.
Is there something you want to know, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
It's Vandenbroek. No, I just thought...
I'm so sorry. It's really... it's unspeakable.
Unspeakable. But you seem okay.
Do I?
Paper said your husband was a lawyer in New Hampshire.
He has an office here. Most of his work was here. And I'm in Congress.
Yeah, I know. So why was he going to Miami?
Business. He had business there. Are you investigating something?
They were sitting together on the plane. Your husband. My wife. Do you know that?
No.
3A and B. First class.
First class isn't what it used to be. I don't think it's worth the money.
Kay smiles and he stares at her.
Is there anything else?
Vandenbroek steps forward.
You mad at me?
I don't know you, Lieutenant. Why would I be mad at you?
I'm a sergeant.
They stare at each other.
What are you, Mrs. Chandler? Sophisticated?
It's my daughter.
Kay goes to the door and opens it. Jessica enters carrying some luggage.
Sorry. An airline guy left Dad's things downstairs, so I brought him up.
She looks at Vandenbroek and takes her mother's hand.
This is my daughter, Jessica. Jess, this is Sergeant...
Vandenbroek. They call me Dutch. It's easier.
He lost his wife on the plane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
He nods.
Never been to New Hampshire. You go to school there or here?
I go to Andover. It's a prep school.
Well, I won't take any more of your time.
He hands Kay his card.
Sorry about your dad.
Thanks. Nice to meet you.
Jessica shakes his hand, then picks up the luggage and walks away. Kay opens the front door. Vandenbroek goes to the doorway and turns to Kay.
I need an hour. It's not a lot to ask.
Don't come around here again.
He leaves the apartment. In a bedroom, Jessica is unpacking the luggage. She picks up some suits and turns to her mom.
You must have had them cleaned.
Kay takes the suits and hangs them in a closet. Jessica looks through the bag.
Mom?
She turns to Kay, holding a gift package wrapped in gold paper.
I'm sure it's for your birthday. Dad said he was going to get you something great.
Jessica smiles and rips the paper, revealing a green jewelry case. She opens it and finds a gold bracelet.
Expensive. He knew I'd say no.
Kay puts the bracelet on Jessica.
Mom, I know you're worried about me, but I still want you to run. I'll be fine. I don't want us to sit around here all day and be depressed. I'm gonna go back to school tomorrow. All my friends are there. And it's only 40 miles, so I can come home on weekends if we want.
Kay hugs Jessica. In an alley, Vandenbroek drives up in his vehicle. LC is there and bystanders are watching.
Somebody pop Marvin.
LC and Vandenbroek walk down the alley. One of the bystanders is the girl from the police station. Marvin's body is in a dumpster. Another dumpster is covered in blood.
George Buford did this.
What else you find in here? You find anything in here?
No.
This is a bad time for you?
Oh, come on, man. I don't need to go through all that garbage.
Hey, my case is gonna get kicked because somebody killed my only witness. Now you get in there and do
easy,
it.
Easy.
The crime scene officer walks away.
Garbage guy says the last pickup was a week ago.
It hasn't been that long.
Sure smells long.
LC and Vandenbroek walk up the alley and Vandenbroek notices the girl.
Hey, Sheila, what are you doing here?
That ain't even my name.
She rolls her eyes and walks away.
Let's talk to these people. You take that side. I'll take this side.
It's homicides, Dutch. We're off it.
The hell we are.
Vandenbroek walks away. Later, at a park, Kay walks up. She notices Vandenbroek seated on a bench and marches toward him.
Let's get something straight. I will not allow
you to... I don't have
any
choice. I need your help.
Before you dropped by to tell me my husband was screwing your wife, did it occur to you that that might be a hurtful thing to do?
You knew already.
I suppose I didn't.
How did you know, Mrs. Chandler?
He told me he was going to New York.
He's on the wrong plane, so it must be another woman, just like that?
Well, it could have been amnesia.
My wife was in Miami in February and also in May. Do you think your husband was?
What difference does it make? It's over. It's entirely over. He's through with her and she's through with him and we're through with both of them. We can't even get a divorce.
You can do that.
I have a child.
I try and go back in my head. What's the last thing you remember about you and your husband that you know is true?
Kay stares at him.
I gotta find out how far back I have to go to do that. This is where they were gonna stay.
He holds out a pamphlet that reads The Tides. Kay looks at it and takes it.
I've got work to do.
Don't you want to know how it started? How long it was going on? You don't want to know what their plans were? You don't want to know anything.
What she thought about when she thought about me. I'd like to know that.
But you might like to know what she looked like.
You leave me alone. I mean it.
Kay walks away.
30
Vandenbrock approaches a woman in an office.
Oh, yeah, just take a number and have a seat, please.
Alice Buford, George Buford's wife.
What happened? Is he all right?
He's fine. I'm Sergeant Vandenbrock. I'd like to ask you a few questions.
He shows his badge.
He was with me.
What time was that?
Any time you're talking about. 31?
February was swimsuits and May was fall fashion.
And you saw those catalogs?
Yes, Dutch, I saw the catalogs. I told you twice. I'll get them for you.
Well, how do we know she shot those books in Miami? What if she just sent them?
Because there were palm trees. There was a beach and a very big ocean.
Vandenbrock looks away from Molly in another restaurant.
If she doesn't run, she's crazy. Tell him.
It's just a sympathy bounce, but she's up 14 points since the funeral.
Well, I think she'll stay in, but she needs some time.
She's this brave widow. She's got this kid. They're eating it up.
Your heart.
She knows. I know she knows.
Maybe he was buying a boat.
Oh, please.
Maybe it was drugs or government work. Why are you so bound and determined it's another woman?
Why are you protecting him? You know who it is, Richard. I swear to God.
What's your thought, Wendy? I lied the first five times, and now I'm going to cave. Why is this so important to you?
I caught Sam with a woman once. I spilled a milkshake on my skirt, so I ran home from lunch. I heard them in the shower. And at first, I thought it was the radio. But what she was saying, you don't hear on the radio. I ran. I couldn't go back to work. For hours, literally. I didn't remember that I was involved with someone else. I had been for months. And I liked my life with Sam. Things were fine.
What did you do?
I kept my mouth shut, and I never went home again without calling first. To say that involvement, and I don't mean casual sex, I mean romance, to say that that whole part of life, half the fun of life has to end, if you told me that had to be over, I'd feel old.
If you had known about Peyton, would you tell me? Now, I mean.
No.
At the other restaurant.
I am going to run to the ladies' room. Give me another one, will you?
Roman's over there, dreaming up ways to remind you of my loss.
Kay, a detective came by the office today asking about Cullen. I wasn't there. Barry said he asked how much Cullen traveled. Seemed to be particularly interested in Miami. Asked who our Miami clients were. Said he was going there tomorrow. Is this anything I should know about?
I have no idea.
The man nods and Kay looks down.
I'm sorry, Richard, you're right. It's too soon.
Oh, I
want to go home.
Okay.
I'll get a cab outside. Tell Wendy I'm sorry.
Kay rushes out of the restaurant. Later, Vandenbrock walks through an airport. Outside on the building, it reads Miami International Airport. Vandenbrock gets into a taxi. The taxi speeds along the highway and stops in front of a warehouse where Vandenbrock gets out. Inside the warehouse, various models pose and change clothes. Vandenbrock enters and looks around as a man approaches.
Mr. Vandenbrock? Hi. I'm so sorry about Peyton. Can have a coffee, huh?
February, we shoot into studios, made the keys to get away from tourists.
Why come to Miami twice in a row? Why not go somewhere else?
I would like to think it was my work, but I suspect so she can walk the city and sketch. She loved the streets, you know, the markets, the Latin music.
Was there a man?
I don't think there is a man, no.
What about after work? What did she do after work?
More walking, but sometimes the clubs for music and to watch the dancing.
You know who she went with?
The man looks down.
If I can say, if you want to be with a woman, these shoots are not so good for that.
Did you ever sleep with Peyton?
The man pours out his coffee.
Your situation is very difficult. Excuse the question.
The man walks away. Later, at the Tides Hotel, Vandenbroek gets out of a car and goes inside.
We'll build a home on a hill top high.
In the lobby, he notices couples lounging around. He goes to the front desk. The clerk picks up the phone. Later, two more clerks look up information on a computer. Still later, Vandenbroek is led into a room. There's a king-size bed, and two robes are laid out. He looks at the large tub in the bathroom, turns, and notices two sets of slippers on the floor. The Miami skyline is shown against a night sky. Vandenbroek puts down an empty glass and takes another. Kay walks into the lobby of the hotel. She sees Vandenbroek sitting at the bar, and she approaches him.
Is there someplace we can talk?
He turns and looks at her. He motions at the bar, and Kay sits down.
Stoli, please, on the rocks. I'm from a little town in a little state. And unfortunately, I'm in Congress, so when you go interviewing people, it's easy to start talk. It's even possible they might stumble on the truth. You can't possibly want that.
You're the only one I want to talk to.
I don't know anything.
Kay's drink is set in front of her. She sips it and looks at Vandenbroek. He stares at her.
What do you want to know?
How long it was going on.
So we know how stupid to feel.
How they met, what their plans were.
I can't help you.
Well, at least you try.
Are you trying to be funny?
No, not anymore.
Do you know what happens when a member of Congress accuses you of harassment?
Yeah, we'd get our names in the newspapers.
That's very close to blackmail.
I'm not a lawyer.
And I'm not some investigation. You can't rummage through my life. Who's next on your list? My neighbors? My staff? My friends?
Then talk to me.
So you can paw through my marriage? Make me confess to something? It's my life. It's mine to judge, not yours.
You're not the only one involved.
Look, if they find out about your wife, it's gossip. If they find out about my husband, it's in the newspapers. I have a daughter who adores her father, who doesn't know. What do I tell her?
I don't know.
Kay looks at him, then takes a sip of her Stoli.
Come on. I'll show you something.
Kay looks at him as he leaves the bar. They walk into a lounge and to an area overlooking a pool.
Nice, huh? I figure they would have had drinks here. Want to see their room?
No. They never got here.
Not this time, anyway.
Kay looks at him.
She stayed here February 19th, also May 14th, on business. If he was with her, he didn't register.
Kay turns away from Vandenbroek and watches the couples on the dance floor.
Jerk.
your husband like Latin stuff? Music, dancing?
Why?
He had the concierge book him a table at some place called La Roca.
Colin liked classical music.
You sure?
He walks away as Kay stares at him. Kay and Vandenbrock walk down a crowded sidewalk.
You know what I do for a living. I get paid to notice stuff. I get paid to know who's lying. I didn't have a clue.
Kay looks at him.
Missed it.
They continue to walk, and they pass a man playing a guitar.
I thought we were happy. Not giddy, not ecstatic. We weren't unhappy. I wasn't.
I was pretty happy.
They see a building with a neon sign reading La Roca. Inside, couples dance the tango. Vandenbrock and Kay make their way to the front of the crowd to watch. The dancers move seductively across the dance floor. Kay pulls her sweater tightly around her and they continue to watch.
I don't want to be here. I don't want to be here.
Kay pushes her way out through the crowd, and Vandenbrock follows her.
It's okay, Chandler.
The woman takes a picture.
Hi, Peter Suchet, East Concord. Voted for your dad. But do you mind, take another picture?
The woman takes another photo.
They took our picture.
You know him?
They're from Concord. They took our picture. I bury my husband and go nightclubbing in Miami.
Stay here.
Where are you going?
Get the film.
No! God, no! You can't just mug some guy. It'll just make things worse.
Vandenbrock looks at her and puts his hands in his pockets.
You are a cop.
You gonna go ahead?
What time is it? My plane's at 9:30.
A little after 8.
They continue walking.
Sure you don't want to stay over?
Kay looks at him, then stares straight ahead.
Yes.
Later, they ride in a cab, and Kay rolls down the window. At the airport, Vandenbrock gets out and the cab drives away.
Maybe we should split up.
Kay walks away. Inside the airport, Kay stands by a window and Vandenbrock stands near the escalators. He turns and looks at her. On the plane, Kay sits three rows behind Vandenbrock. She pours herself a drink. Back in Washington, Kay follows Vandenbrock off the airplane and down an escalator.
You should have stayed.
They exit the airport.
I'm in restricted parking.
I took the metro.
It's not running now.
Get a cab.
Where do you live?
Northwest. It's out of your way.
You want me to drop you or not?
Vandenbrock looks at Kay. In a parking lot, they approach a black luxury automobile.
You know where we're going.
Kay hands the keys to him and climbs in the passenger seat as Vandenbroek gets in the driver's side.
Why? Say why?
Why?
Because they did, because they were going to...
God.
Easy. They struggle in the car and Kay bites him.
Oh, God. Easy. Stop it now.
He starts to kiss Kay and she kisses him back. They look at each other and kiss again. They look at each other again and start to make out. He holds her. Then she moves back to her side of the car. She rubs her forehead and gathers her sweater around her. He stares at her.
Well, that was fun.
He reaches out to her.
Stop. Just drive.
Vandenbroek drives the car from the airport and down a highway. Kay looks out the window, and Vandenbroek stares straight ahead. He drives the car to his house and parks. He looks at Kay.
Unbelievable.
You want to come in or?
Don't be ridiculous.
Vandenbroek gets out of the car and Kay slides over. She drives away and Vandenbroek watches her leave. Inside his dark kitchen, he rinses his face with water from the sink. He turns on the answering machine.
Pick up the phone, you son of a bitch. You like scaring women? You come around my wife one more time and... No. You come and try to scare me, you punk. Come on.
10:52 p.m. End of messages.
Last number called, 555-4421. Press 1 to connect.
Parkway Lanes.
Yeah, is George Buford still there?
Vandenbroek's vehicle backs out of the driveway. He drives down the street and through town. He puts his red light on his car and zips through intersections. He pulls into the parking lot of a building with a red neon sign reading Parkway Lanes. He parks and goes in. He spots George. Picks up a bowling ball and approaches him. Clayton sees Vandenbroek headed toward them.
Hey, Dutch, hold on, man. What the hell?
He punches Clayton.
George!
George turns, and Vandenbroek hurls the bowling ball at him. He picks up a chair and hits George with it. Vandenbroek beats on George.
Hang it up! Take it outside! Take it outside!
A group of men grabs Vandenbroek. George gets up and starts to hit him. More men pull George off Vandenbroek.
Come on! Somebody call the police. I have your badge now, baby.
George and Vandenbroek glare at each other. The next morning, a black car pulls up outside Parkway Lanes and parks next to Vandenbroek's vehicle. Vandenbroek and LC are inside.
You better get a lawyer.
George killed that man.
You can't go around beating up suspects. You're suspended, Dutch. There's going to be a trial, boy. You assaulted a man. You can lose your job.
What if there's somebody to swear they saw George at that dumpster? How tough would that be?
I was thinking, if you went to see the shrink, it wouldn't cost nothing. Talk about Peyton, it could help.
I don't need to talk about Peyton.
I could tell him you got stressed out on the job. It wouldn't be a lie, you know.
Vandenbroek gets out of the car. Kay drives up to a building and Carl Broman gets in. He reaches over and turns off the car. He shows Kay a photo of her and Vandenbroek leaving the club. Kay blinks.
Honk if you're screwing him. Save a plane ticket.
Where'd you get that?
Shirley Magnuson. Says she thinks it's phony, says I'm setting her up.
Setting her up?
I take the picture, make sure it gets slipped to her. She uses it. I provide a perfectly innocent explanation. Ta-da. Her candidate's a mudslinger.
My God, you people.
Pretty good idea. I wish I'd had it.
Kay looks at Broman through narrowed eyes.
If you have to explain that picture, can you do it?
Yes.
A plane lands on a runway in an open field. Later, Kay walks up to Jesse.
Jesse! Mom!
A billboard reads, Kay Spencer Chandler, Republican, U.S. Congress. Inside Kay's house, Jesse takes off her jewelry to do the dishes. Kay notices her bare wrist.
Where's your bracelet?
It's around.
You didn't lose it.
It's around.
What's the matter, Jess?
Jessica looks at her mother.
It's not my bracelet.
What?
Jessica looks down and turns off the water.
Dad didn't have any clients in Miami, did he?
Kay walks over to a table and begins clearing dishes.
He was with that cop's wife, huh?
She looks at Jessica and tosses the hair out of her face.
What was going on?
Kay stares blankly.
Something? I'm not sure what.
Are they serious?
That'd be my guess.
Jessica turns her attention to the dishes, then back to her mom.
Do a lot of people know?
Kay raises her eyebrows. Jessica drops a plate, brushes by her, and runs out of the kitchen. Kay breaks down and starts to cry. Later, she's on the phone.
Leave a message. I'll call you back.
It's me.
Remember from restricted parking?
Vandenbroek listens.
So you picked Peyton. And Colin picked Peyton. That's 2-0 against the home team. Have we been introduced? She says, straightening her clothes. I thought I should introduce myself and fill you in on my plans. I'm packing it in. No, that sounds like suicide. All I mean is, like you said, sooner or later, everybody knows everything, and this will be in the papers. And I can't have that. I can't let Jessica be mowed down by gossip she had nothing to do with. But if I'm not in Congress, if I'm out, it's not news anymore. She's safe, you know? You do know, don't you? You're the only one who does. And I miss that. Do me a favor, erase this. God, I'm glad you're not there.
Okay.
Later, at a fundraiser, Kay talks to people.
Thank you so much.
Excuse me, just a
minute. Vandenbroek walks up to her and hands her a check.
My contribution.
She looks at him and takes it.
If you quit, they win. And the crash got us all.
Pipe down for a minute if I can get this.
I'll let them do that.
I'm not the only one involved.
Thank you all for coming.
She should know her mom's no quitter.
Just want to say how impressed I am.
There's no reason it shouldn't be. But I have to say a few things. The name of this group is Friends of Kay Chandler.
I'm sorry about that phone call.
We're not getting much sleep, are we?
I'm afraid of what's playing.
Me too. I give it a try. Turn it around 3.
Colin would be so proud of you. I know you know.
I don't know how many times I've introduced Kay Chandler. I've always been.
It's a lot between 3 and 5. Australian football.
May I present your friend? Your congresswoman.
Don't go away.
Your next representative for the 2nd District of New Hampshire, Kay Spencer Chandler.
Kay walks to the podium.
Thank you. Thank you, Richard. Thank you all. It's good to be home. I wanted to say just a word, just a few words. You're all being very nice to me. I don't want to disappoint you. But I just don't want to talk politics tonight. I'm just glad to be home. Richard and Wendy, thank you so much. Thanks all of you. Friendship, for your support.
She looks at Vandenbroek, who smiles.
Showing up here tonight. Thanks. I mean it. Don't anybody leave without me getting a chance to talk to you, okay?
Love you.
Kay steps away from the podium and is surrounded by a crowd. She sees Vandenbroek and smiles. She looks away, and when she looks back, he's gone. She and her campaign manager approach her car. There's a brown envelope under the wiper. She opens it and finds a roadmap.
You take it?
The roadmap. Maybe.
There's a note inside.
Maybe someone thought it fell out of my car.
Listen, Kay, time to commit.
The note is signed Dutch.
All the way in or not?
Because if you're not going to run, we need to return that fundraiser money right quick.
Maybe I'll take a day. Do some thinking.
I'll be around.
He leaves, and Kay nods and looks at the map. Somewhere in the woods, a motorcycle is parked next to a cabin. Vandenbroek is sitting in a rocking chair on the porch. He gets up when he sees Kay's car drive up. She gets out. He walks toward her.
I was wondering if you'd come.
Kay rubs her hand.
Guy like you, girl like me, what possible reason could there be not to?
She continues to rub her hand. She looks around.
Hi. Sorry I'm late. I had to change a few times and pack. I thought if I packed real light, it'd look like I knew what I was doing. But then I didn't know what I was doing, so I didn't know what to pack.
She looks around again.
Where are we exactly?
Chesapeake Bay's a couple miles off that way.
Kay continues to look at the surroundings. She looks down, then up at Vandenbroek.
I'm not going to make small talk because I don't want there to be any junk between us.
She begins to walk toward him.
No littering.
Okay.
There's so many reasons I might be doing this. I kept thinking I'll go one more mile and then I'll turn around and...
He touches her face.
I was thinking about your mouth.
He kisses her. They embrace, and he kisses her neck. Inside, she slips off her jacket.
Nobody knows who I am anymore. Nobody knows how easily I can do this.
I know who you are.
They kiss, and Kay unbuttons his shirt. Her jeans are unbuttoned. He slips out of his shirt and begins to remove Kay's clothing. Later, they're in bed where they continue to kiss one another. A stream outside the cabin is shown. Inside, Vandenbroek strokes Kay's back.
I have to know something. Are you a Democrat?
What if I am?
We talk. I give you books to read.
She smiles at him and kisses him.
I like it when there's just the two of us. You hungry?
Later.
The start of something.
She strokes his arm at the table.
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Kay stares at him.
What I want to know is who is this woman who's wearing my clothes and using my body? Is she permanent? Or is she only around when you are?
Later, they walk by the stream.
Mm-hmm. I say we hide out here for a couple of years and make a run for the border.
I always thought when I had my time in, I'd like to live down here. Start a little security service.
What, the raccoons are knocking over the garbage cans?
A lot of Washington, Baltimore people have places on the water here. They always think they're going to get robbed.
You had plans.
I always wanted a boat. One you could sleep on.
We've got a boat. I've got a boat.
Kay goes to Vandenbroek and hugs him.
I'll give it to you.
She looks at him.
I don't trust this any more than you do. But you're the only thing that's real.
Let me ask you something tough. Are you sorry the plane went down?
What are you doing?
Just think about it. You can have it all back the way it was. But you gotta take it all. He's lying. He's screwing another woman. They're laughing about how easy we are to fool.
Stop. Don't do that. I'm done with them. Done with them.
He looks around the woods.
The thing is...
Kay kisses him.
Come on. Let's go home.
She gets up and walks away. He follows her.
You know those drugstore kits that tell you when you're pregnant? They should have one that tells you when you're sane.
I think they had a place. Someplace they'd meet. An apartment just makes sense.
Kay looks at him.
How could it make sense?
No driving, no motels.
If they did, they did. They're on their own.
He holds up a key.
This was on her desk at work.
Is that why you drew the map? Is that why you came to Concord in the
first place? Came to Concord because I didn't want you to quit.
People have keys.
Did you see one like this?
No.
In his luggage, maybe?
So they had a place. They're not there anymore. And I don't care. I just don't care.
And maybe you didn't lose that much.
He turns away.
Or you're lying to yourself.
Sun's going down. It's time to go.
Kay walks away. Later, they pack her car.
When will you be back?
The roof's got a leak and I got some time, so I'm gonna try and make it a little worse.
Vandenbroek strokes Kay's hair and face.
Dutch. Maybe we'll never get clear of the way we met. Maybe we'll find we'll never be alone. But I don't want us to lose this chance because... Because if it's just going to be about them, if it's always going to be four of us every time...
No.
They kiss.
Careful driving home.
Kay smiles and gets into her car.
Hey. Thanks for driving all the way to Concord. And for the contribution, that was something.
Yeah, and I don't even live in your district.
He shuts the car door. They touch their fingertips on the glass. Kay drives away as Vandenbroek watches. Later, boats cut through the water as Kay's car drives down the highway. At her apartment, she walks through the rooms and turns on a light.
You have one message.
Hey, it's me, Wendy. Where have you been? I'm walking around with $50,000 from your friends and neighbors and nobody to give it to. What do you want to do, Missy? Lunch tomorrow? Give me a call.
Kay opens her husband's briefcase. She removes a set of keys from a compartment. At the cabin, Vandenbroek stares at his key. Kay throws hers in a drawer and Vandenbroek knocks his off the table.
Jessica out there, smiling like Chelsea and keeping her mouth shut. Her job is good kid, no opinions. She can wear jeans, no short shorts, no bra tops.
No, Jessica. She's in school.
School? I thought we're trying to win an election here.
No, Jessica, I don't want her.
Kay shakes her head and walks to her desk.
I think I may be losing what it takes to lie. This may become a problem.
Let's take a little break, okay?
I'm not liking this.
Just ask him.
We're telling the whole southeast side a police officer's a murder suspect. You think George ain't gonna hear about this in 10 minutes? You're not even supposed to be working.
That's why you're here.
Hey, China, you in there? Hello? Anybody home? Shyla
walks around a corner.
Hey, Shyla. We need to talk a second. Can we come in?
No, you can't come in.
You want to come on out, then?
You get out of here. Folks say I'm talking to you, then my ass is trouble.
Oh, damn it, Dutch. Come on, man. Come on.
You got no right in here.
Hey, I ain't going to hurt you. I just want
Dutch,
to
let's go. Look, look, you got look, no warrant. She's already said
girl,
no.
If my brother was facing another 15 months in detention, wouldn't hurt me to take a look at one little picture. You seen this man before?
That's Big George. I see him all over.
Did you see him in the alley the night we found the body?
No.
You didn't maybe see him dump that man in the dumpster? Maybe with somebody else?
No.
Hey, take another look. Maybe it'll come back to you. How's your brother doing, by the way? Any chance he's gonna get out?
Okay. That's it! Look, you didn't see the man in the photo. We're sorry to have disturbed you. Okay, I want you out right now. Out now!
Vandenbroek and LC walk outside.
What in the hell's happened with you? Look, Dutch, I'm sorry about your wife. But what do you want, George, to come after you? Is that it, so you can shoot him?
He pushes LC against a car.
You got tired of working cheap?
What?
You know damn well he's guilty. Why are you protecting him? Is he paying you now?
LC shakes his head. Vandenbroek walks away as LC watches. At a restaurant.
Here. I feel like a bag man. There's cash in there, so be careful.
Kay and Wendy look at menus.
Well, guess what? Cullen was having an affair.
Wendy looks at Kay.
Drew said the iTunes is incredible here. That's why he was going to Miami. How long? What's the difference? You think being deaf, dumb, and blind is a liability for congresswomen?
Kay sips her drink.
I think he kept an apartment that I don't know about.
Wendy lowers her head.
Would you like to hear our specials today?
Give us a minute, please. And I thought maybe Colin had told Richard and Richard had said something.
Wendy shakes her head. Kay looks at her.
Hey, come on. It's only adultery. Nobody gives a damn about that anymore except the people it's happening to, and it's not happening to you.
Wendy covers her eyes.
My God. Oh, Kay, please give me a chance to explain. Just... Shut up. Kay, it didn't mean... But I was always going to tell you. Where is it? It's been over a year. I haven't been there.
Where is it?
The Colton Building on Rhode Island.
Kay picks up her purse.
Okay. It's just stupid.
I'm really not very hungry. If you can get the
check, please. Just stop, please, Kay. Just listen to me, okay? Because if we don't see you, then Richard will know. Wendy, I can't keep seeing you so your husband won't know you've been screwing mine. Kay.
Kay stands to leave.
Kay, please. I need to tell you how rotten I feel. Let me go, Bunkin.
At her apartment, Kay opens the drawer and takes out the keys. She drops them.
Hello?
Hello, it's me.
Hi.
Bad time?
No. How's the roof?
Lousy.
Something wrong?
Want to get something to eat?
Sure. I'm not that hungry, but I want to see you.
A lone runner circles a track. Vandenbroek hands Kay a sandwich.
Everything all right?
She nods and puts the sandwich down.
Dutch, weren't you ever tempted to cheat on Peyton?
Tempted, yeah. Sure.
Why didn't you?
Maybe I did.
I don't think so.
She lays her head on his shoulder.
You think this, everything that happened, you think it's made you different?
Different how?
More suspicious?
Maybe.
He nods.
But here I am. I'm leaving you tomorrow.
I knew we should have gone to McDonald's.
I have to try to get elected.
I lost a friend today. Being suspicious. What happens if you don't get elected?
Country goes to hell. And I go home. For keeps.
He puts an arm around her.
But you're gonna beat this guy, right?
He kisses her.
When I get back,
I'll be here.
His ass.
George comes out of Shiloh's house and gets into an unmarked police car with Clayton. In Chinatown.
Sack of Davin, employee's entrance. I get it.
George and Clayton get into the car and drive away. Car, LC follows. At the store offices, Molly tries out the key.
Sorry, Dutch.
Ladies' room.
Mary Claire?
Oh, yeah.
Mary Claire picks up a bowl of keys.
I've got all kinds of keys. Wouldn't believe all the keys I've got. Got a key to the Victanis in Rochester. I've got keys to the ones in Westchester. Oh,
Dutch. I don't think there was an apartment. She was always here. There wasn't time.
Oh, no, wait, you know, she gave me a phone number once. She was on her way out to a meeting or something.
Mary Claire.
Oh, just a minute. Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is it. Yeah. In the bottom in pencil. Oh, yeah, go right ahead.
Vandenbroek picks up the phone. Molly looks at Mary Claire.
Have the 911 supervisor, please. This is Sergeant Vandenbroek, DC Internal Affairs, 9114. I need an address, please, for a telephone number.
Later, he parks in front of a building. He throws a police sign on the dash and looks up at the windows of the building. He goes inside and pulls out the key. He presses a button on the elevator. He walks down a hall to apartment 4C. He puts the key in the lock, turns it, opens the door, walks in, and comes face to face with Kay. She's stuffing sheets into a trash bag.
Dutch.
He looks around. There are full trash bags everywhere.
Did you know when you came to Miami?
No. How could you ever think?
When you came to my cabin, did you know then?
I found out yesterday.
So you knew last night? When were you gonna tell me?
I thought maybe years from now when it's behind us.
He points at a bag.
What did you find?
Nothing.
He digs through it.
Don't you worry. We had a pact.
Then what the hell are you doing here?
I want to finish it. I want it over.
He scowls and looks around.
At your purse? What'd you find, huh? What'd you find?
He digs through Kay's purse, then dumps the contents on a counter as Kay watches.
There's nothing here.
He looks at her and walks over to the bed. He goes into the bathroom and looks around. Kay puts things back in her purse.
Stop it, Dutch. There's nothing here.
There's gotta be something left, some sign of...
Stop it, Dutch. You'll never find what you're looking for. Never. You want to know why, and there is no why.
He looks around. He looks in a drawer, then sees the answering machine. He sits on the bed.
Don't.
He presses a button.
Case you check in, I'm heading for the airport early. Meet me for coffee.
Hi, it's me.
I'm running late. There was something I needed to do. If I'm not there, go on without me, and I'll get the next plane to meet you at the hotel. What are we doing? Do you know?
He looks up. Kay takes her purse and starts to leave. He takes the tape out of the machine.
We made love that morning. That's why she was light.
He turns to find no one there.
Kay. Kay?
Outside, Kay walks down a sidewalk. Vandenbroek walks out after her. George sees him from the car. Kay gets into her car. George begins to drive as Vandenbroek crosses the street. He rolls down his window. Vandenbroek motions for Kay to stop. LC pulls up from his hiding place as George points a gun at Vandenbroek. LC rams George's car. Gets out of her car.
Get an ambulance!
Okay. Get out of the car! Get up!
An ambulance races down the street. At the hospital, reporters are gathering.
Kay Chandler, congresswoman from New Hampshire. Police reports that her husband was getting it on with Vandenbroek's wife. Evidently, love shack.
Kay sits with her head on her hand. Broman and her manager walk in.
You all right?
Well, the press is out there, and they know you're here. Of course, they could get hungry and go somewhere for a hamburger.
How are we going to handle this?
Handle it. Handle it's when you got a client who will tell you what the hell's going on. I think we can assume they're going to want to know just how well the congresswoman knows the cop.
How are we going to handle this?
I don't know. If we can get back to New Hampshire and let this thing age a day, there's a back elevator that'll get us out through the basement.
He's right, Kay.
Kay looks up. Elsewhere in the Washington Hospital Center, Vandenbroek is in a bed. The door opens and Kay walks in.
Almost midnight.
Somebody stole my watch. Where's Elsie?
He said he'd come by tomorrow.
He looks around.
I was trying to catch up with you.
What were you going to say?
I just didn't want you to leave, not like that, anyway.
A nurse enters.
Ah, welcome back. Hungry?
Where's my watch?
They need you an x-ray.
She leaves.
Listen, I probably never would have told you about the place either. All I wanted... What I want, really, is just to find some way to let her go. And move on.
I don't know how you do that.
No.
Neither do I.
It's not a crime, Dutch. You loved your wife. And you still do.
The nurse comes back.
All set. Now let me see if I can find a couple of orderlies. Hey, George, you know where
you are? We can hang around.
I can't.
You're supposed to be nice to me. I've been shot.
Kay fights back a smile and takes his hand.
We did okay, Dutch. We did the best we could under the circumstances.
You ready, Sergeant?
The orderly comes in.
It's time for you to go. Me too.
Vandenbrock stares at Kay.
That be all right?
She kisses him, and he smiles. She leaves the room. She walks down the hall and is swamped by reporters.
You tell us what you're doing.
How well do you know the victim's more about the sergeant's condition?
I've got to catch a plane, but if you can make it short.
Mrs. Chandler, we've been told that your husband was having an affair with Sergeant Vandenbrock's wife, that they had an apartment and that that's where you were. Is that correct?
Kay looks at the reporters.
Yes, it is.
Could you characterize your relationship with the sergeant?
Sergeant Vandenbrock's wife was killed on the plane that went down in the bay with my husband. I met the sergeant a few days after that day. He was a friend when I needed a friend. I hope he feels the same way.
So you're just friends?
Just friends. We are surely friends. We've seen each other through something. We're more than friends, we're survivors. No, you'll have to excuse me. I really have to get home.
Can you tell us anything more about the sergeant's condition?
Kay walks down the hall and waves them off. Later, at a park, she and Jessica take a walk. The holiday season arrives, and people are ice skating and carrying packages. Jessica says goodbye as Kay catches a flight. A man with a snowblower clears a path, and a park is covered with snow. Kay picks up her coat and purse and walks out of her office full of packing boxes.
Bye, Mrs. Chandler. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Do I know you?
I'm Tad Baker. I work for Mr. Cornelius. You said we could,
He looks around.
Yeah, sure. Make yourselves at home.
She leaves. Outside the Capitol building, Kay makes her way down the steps. Later, she's walking through an airport when she sees Vandenbrock standing at a food stand. She smiles at him, and he smiles back. They walk toward each other.
Hello, Kay.
Hi, Sergeant.
Lieutenant. They made me a lieutenant. All I had to do was get shot. Can I get you some? Stoli on the rocks.
I haven't had one of those in a while. I got a plane. I don't have time.
She sips his beer.
Hey, what's with those New Hampshire voters? Are they crazy or what?
I think they could tell I didn't want the job. Or maybe I wanted the job. I just didn't want to do what you have to do to get it.
So you're out of work?
Guess I am. Are you as well as you look?
The leg's a little stiff. But I think I'm gonna be okay. You?
Kate nods.
How's that football in Australia?
She smiles broadly.
I tune in once in a while. Not like before. I was a real fan.
Hey, I gotta tell you something. I thought I might run into you here.
Where are you going?
That's the thing, nowhere. I called your office and they said that you were headed home, so.
They stare at each other.
Look, my flight's overbooked tonight.
Go later. Take another plane.
Kay grins from ear to ear. She touches his jacket lapel.
It's my Christmas present. Running into you.
She kisses him on the cheek.
What'd you get me? How about I just call you up sometime in New Hampshire?
And say what?
Say, you want to go to a movie?
He steps closer to her.
What do you say?
Kay puts her head on his chest, then looks at him.
Wouldn't that be something?
Kay walks away from Vandenbroek. He smiles as he watches her leave. She disappears into the crowd. Narrative script written by Corey Stallings. For the Emmy Award-winning Narrative Television Network, this is Kevin Mike.